This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today. Hi, and welcome to today's edition of Covenant Living Today. Today on our broadcast, we're teaching about how to deal with criticism. You are going to be criticized. You are going to be criticized. Criticism hurts, doesn't it? Criticism hurts. We don't like people to say negative things about us. We want them to say positive things about us. And yet, what the scripture tells us is that we are going to be criticized. And so, if you want to be an overcomer in life, you've got to understand how to handle criticism. So today, what we want to do is talk about how overcomers handle criticism. Here's the first thing that overcomers do in handling criticism. Overcomers expect to be criticized. They are not shocked and they are not surprised. I'll tell you something. One of the things that I had to recognize in becoming a pastor is pastors get criticized. Do you know that? I mean, as wonderful and as sweet as I am, I know that I'm still going to be criticized. Now, see, we don't do this in Covenant Community Church, but I tell you, there's some churches that are like this. You come to the service on Sunday, and you sit there, and you look in the pastor's face, and you kind of grin at him as he's preaching. And then at the end of the sermon, when you leave, you tell him, "Oh, Pastor, what a wonderful sermon that was." And you go home and sit around the dinner table and talk about him like a dog. Amen? I've seen it happen. And then you wonder how come the other folks at the table don't want to come to your church. Amen? Amen? No. See, I know I'm going to be criticized. It's just part of the territory. And so if I'm going to be all upset because somebody's going to criticize me, guess what? I just go home. Amen? No, understand, that's part of life. That's part of the Christian life. If you are having enough impact so that people notice you, they're going to talk about you. The only way they won't talk about you is you're not doing anything, so they don't even have to know you're there. Amen? But if you are making some kind of an impact, people are going to notice you. They're going to talk about you. They're going to pick up on every little thing. Somebody is going to criticize you. You cannot avoid it. Look at this. Matthew chapter 10, verse 25. If you are a Christian, do not expect people to treat you any better than they treated Jesus himself. Matthew chapter 10, verse 25. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher and a servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, that is a devil, how much more will they call those of his household? If you are a Christian and they criticized Jesus, you can know they are going to criticize you. So number one, be ready. Don't be caught by surprise. Don't be overwhelmed by it. Just know that it's part of life, and particularly part of your life as a Christian. People are going to criticize. Overcomers are not surprised by criticism. They expect to be criticized. Here's the second thing that overcomers do. Overcomers understand criticism and are able to put it into perspective. Overcomers understand criticism, and they are able to put it into proper godly perspective. Criticism hurts. But if you get the right perspective on it, you don't have to be hurt. I wonder, has anybody here ever run for any kind of office, public office, or maybe even an office in school? Any kind of, okay, political office? Okay, great. How many of you won? I'm just curious. All right, praise the Lord. We got some good politicians in here. Now, if you were running for political office, particularly in this day and age, would your opponent get on television and talk about what a good person you are? Is that what happens? What do? They put on their ads, they find every little thing they can to do what? Criticize you. Isn't that right? Now, if you were running for public office and your opponent put on an ad criticizing you, how many of you would feel hurt? Oh, man, I thought he liked me. No. You recognize that it's a political campaign. That's the way it operates. He's going to criticize you. She's going to say bad things about you because they're running against you. And so even though you are criticized, you do not let it hurt you. Why? Because you have perspective on it. You understand where it's coming from. You understand what it's all about. It's not anything personal on you. They're trying to win a political race. You've got the kind of perspective that says, even though they're criticizing me, it won't hurt me. Now catch this. When we have a proper biblical perspective on criticism, we do not have to be hurt by it. Let's talk about what criticism is. The dictionary says that to criticize is to find fault and to judge disapprovingly. Somebody looks at you or looks at what you say, looks at what you do, looks at what you wear, how you fix your hair, and they find fault with it, they disapprove it, and they talk about it. That's criticism. And normally it hurts. There are three types of criticism that we're going to have to deal with. First of all, this is the type that most of us think we get most of the time, inaccurate criticism. Somebody says something about us that's negative, disapproving, and we say, that's not right. Go over to Acts chapter 11. Inaccurate criticism. That's what happened to Peter. Peter was doing what God told him to do. God appeared to him in a vision, showed him this vision of food being let down and of animals being let down in a sheet in order to teach Peter that he was to not hold himself away from the Gentiles, but be willing to go and minister to them. And Peter got the message from God. But look what happened to Peter. He went and did what God told him to do. He came back to the brothers and sisters in the church. Look what happened. Acts chapter 11, verse 1. Now the apostles and brethren who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter came up to Jerusalem, those of the circumcision, that is the Jews, Jewish Christians, those of the circumcision contended with him, saying, you went in to uncircumcised men and ate with them. Peter was doing what God told him to do. He was faithful. He was effective. He went and preached the word to these Gentiles, and they got saved. Praise God. They got saved. And so he went back to tell the church, hey, the Lord sent me to Gentiles. They got saved. What did the church say? Wait a minute, brother. You went and ate with some folks you shouldn't have been eating with. You went and sat down with a Gentile and you're a Jew. That's not right. That's wrong. That's against the law. Peter was being criticized for doing good. That ever happened to anybody here? You did the right thing. In fact, you went out of your way to do the right thing. And instead of applauding you, somebody criticized you. You come in and you're part of the cleanup crew and you spend hours cleaning the church building. And for those of you who have been doing that, praise God. But you come in, you spend hours cleaning the church building. And then somebody walks in and finds one spot that you missed. How does that make you feel? Oh, you didn't do a good job. You've been sloppy. You must have just come in here and just kind of wiped up. No. I spent hours on this thing. What do you feel? Inaccurate criticism. Understand, we will be criticized inaccurately. Why? Ignorance. People don't know the real story. These people who criticized Peter didn't know that God had changed the rules of the game. They thought that, oh, well, since these people are not Jews, they can't be saved. But who did Jesus die for? All people. Amen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So see, they didn't know. They were ignorant. And therefore they were criticizing Peter for something that was good. And criticism hurts. I was at a seminar a couple of weeks ago. And the person who was leading the seminar said something. And I made a comment. I decided, you know, I want to add to the discussion here. So I made a comment about something. And the moment I made that comment, a guy sitting right in front of me popped his hand up and said, "I don't agree with that." And I was sitting right behind him. I felt like popping him right in the back of the head. "I don't agree with that." And the thing that caught my attention was this. As he went on to explain what he didn't agree with, I recognized he had not even understood what I said. He's up there criticizing me on the basis of something I didn't even say. And somebody else across the aisle made me feel good. They wrote me a little note, you know, and said, essentially, you know, "I understand what you're talking about." Amen. But the thing was, it was inaccurate criticism. And I'll be honest with you. I had to sit there for a few minutes, about a half hour, actually, thinking about what this guy said and getting it straight in my mind that he was criticizing because he didn't understand. See, that's the effect criticism has on us. Amen? But let me tell you what I didn't do. I've grown, hallelujah. I've grown, praise the Lord. What I didn't do was put my hand back up and say, "Wait a minute. Now, you didn't understand what I was talking about. Let me explain this to you." I just let it go and let the person who was leading the seminar go and do what they were doing. Amen? Because you come to the point where you recognize, I don't have to be hurt by this. It's not an accurate criticism because people don't understand what they're talking about. Now understand this. That's going to happen to you. Somebody's going to say something to you and you will know in your heart it's not right. You do not have to turn to them and say, "You don't know what you're talking about." Here's the second thing we have to deal with. That was inaccurate criticism. But then on the other hand, sometimes we're going to have to deal with accurate criticism. You really did mess up. You really were, or excuse me, really were wrong. Go over to Galatians chapter 2. We just saw how Peter was criticized inaccurately. Criticized for something that he did right, not something that he did wrong. But look what happened in Galatians chapter 2, starting with verse 11. This is Paul speaking. "Now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face, because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision." Paul said, Peter messed up. Peter was a leader in the church. He was, in fact, the head apostle. He was the highest person that people looked up to, and he messed up. He came to the church and said, "I'm not going to eat with you Gentiles," because Jews are not supposed to eat with Gentiles. And he'd already been shown that God said, "What? What I have made clean, don't you call unclean." And Paul said, "Look, I had to rebuke him to his face in front of everybody. I stood him up and I said, Peter, you were wrong." It was accurate criticism. You will be criticized inaccurately sometimes. But guess what? There are times that you're going to have to deal with criticism that's accurate. And it is crucial that you understand the difference between the two. Because you know what we tend to do? We tend to think that 99% of the criticism we get is in the inaccurate category. And everybody else around us is thinking 99% of the criticism they give us is where? In the accurate category. We need to recognize that we can't just throw it off, call it inaccurate. We need to deal with it. We have to have the heart to step back, look at the criticism that we get, and assess, is it accurate or is it not? And if it's accurate, we need to do something about it. We need to do something about it. And not just throw it off and not just defend ourselves saying, "You don't know what you're talking about." Because that's God's way of leading us into the abundant life. Here's the third kind of criticism that we have to deal with. There was the inaccurate kind, and then there's the accurate kind. But the third kind is malicious criticism. Malicious criticism. Go over to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, start with verse 19. Paul was in the city of Philippi. And everywhere he went in that city, there was a little slave girl that would follow after him. And she'd shout out, "Oh, this is the man of God. This is God's servant. Hear him. Listen to him." And you would think Paul would say, "Oh, well, that's good. She's advertising for us." No, he recognized that this girl had a demon. And finally, the scripture says he just got fed up. He turned to her and he cast out that demon in the name of Jesus. Praise God. Amen. Now, there was only one problem. Because of the demon, this girl was able to tell fortunes. And the people who owned her were making money off of her ability to tell fortunes. And when Paul cast the demon out, guess what? She couldn't tell fortunes anymore. Look at what happened. Acts chapter 16, starting with verse 19. "But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, 'These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe.'" Catch it. What kind of criticism was that? It was malicious criticism. They weren't concerned about what the truth was. They were concerned about the fact that these guys have taken away our money and we want to get rid of them. In other words, they had an ulterior motive. They had an agenda. Sometimes people will criticize you because they have an agenda. Well, understand this. Whether it's malicious criticism, whether it's an inaccurate criticism, or even whether it's accurate criticism, let's talk about how we need to handle criticism when it's directed at us. Here's the third thing about overcomers and the way they handle criticism. And this is going to be the toughest one of all. Overcomers don't get upset when people criticize them. They rejoice. Overcomers don't get upset when people criticize them. They rejoice. Go over to Matthew chapter 5. Start with verse 11. "Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Jesus said that when you are persecuted by criticism, when you are criticized, people saying all kinds of evil things against you for the kingdom of God's sake, you need to rejoice. You need to be happy. Why? Great is your reward in heaven. And so when you are subjected to inaccurate or malicious criticism, rejoice. Here's what you do when you hear criticism that's directed at you. Oh, your flesh is going to jump up and say, react. Get defensive. Fight back. James chapter 1, starting with verse 2. "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." When you get criticized, the scripture says you ought to rejoice. Is there anybody in the room who handles criticism that way? Amen. Then I've got the right sermon for the right people. Amen. See, our flesh does not want to rejoice at criticism. Our flesh hates it. But what the scripture is telling us is we need to get a new perspective on this thing. The next time somebody criticizes you and you're saying, "Man, that's not even right." But instead of getting all upset and ready to fight, the scripture says what? Rejoice. Let's talk about how we react to criticism, how we handle criticism. Verse 4 of Acts chapter 11. But Peter explained it to them in order from the beginning. Now catch it. This is Peter. This is an apostle who walked with Jesus. This is somebody that when Jesus went up on the mountaintop and only took three people with him, Peter was one of those people. And now he comes back to the church after doing what God told him to do, and they're going to get on his case. Now, how would you react to that? Who do you think you are? Do you know who I am? Do you know that I was with Jesus on the mountaintop and I saw him transfigured? Where were you when that happened? How are you going to tell me what I'm supposed to be doing? No, what did Peter do? He said, well, look, let me just explain it to you. Step by step, this is what happened. God gave me a vision. He showed me what I was supposed to do. And then an angel came to the door, told me where I was supposed to go. I went there and I preached the word. And before I could even get finished, man, they fell down. The Holy Spirit was upon them. They started speaking in other tongues. And praise God, the Holy Spirit came on them the same way he came on us. Who was I to stand against God? He didn't get upset. He didn't get angry. He didn't get frustrated. All he did was, first of all, tell them this is what happened. When overcomers are criticized, they use it as an opportunity to teach. That's what Peter was doing. He said, let me show you what God is actually doing. You've got a misunderstanding of the way God operates. Let me tell you what really happened. 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting with verse 24. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. The word says that when we are criticized, we don't get in strife, we don't argue, we don't try to make our point and make them see it the way we see it. It says you gently teach. You lay it out. This is the way it really is. This is what happened. This is what God said to me. This is what I did. And then you let it go. You don't argue about it. You don't try to make them see it your way. You leave it to God. Because it says the man or the woman of God must not argue. Don't argue. Let me tell you how futile arguing is. I had this one girlfriend. Man, you're getting to know all about all my old girlfriends. Eh? I had this one girlfriend. And, you know, we'd start discussing something that happened, you know, maybe a year or 2 years ago. And she would say, now you said this. And I'd say, no, I didn't. I didn't say that. I mean, I wouldn't even say anything like that. I mean, there's no way I could possibly have said that. She said, I remember what you said. You said this. I would say, well, what were my exact words? I don't know what your exact words were, but I remember you said it. Now, this is the thing I finally realized. She actually remembered it that way. She actually remembered me saying that dumb, stupid thing that I couldn't possibly have said. No amount of arguing was ever going to change her mind. Amen? Argument does not change people's minds. Lay out what the Word of God says about it, and then leave it to God to change their minds. Look at Acts chapter 11, verse 18. Look at the result. When Peter handled it that way, when he, instead of arguing and getting frustrated and angry that they didn't respect him for who he was and they thought he would do something that was wrong, instead of that, when he just laid it out, said, this is what God did. Verse 18 of Acts chapter 11, here's how they responded. When they heard these things, they became silent and they glorified God, saying, then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life. You see what happened? Peter didn't argue. He just shared what God had done, shared what really happened, and then God changed their hearts. And so there was no fight, because Peter handled criticism in the right way. Overcomers use inaccurate criticism as an opportunity to gently teach. What about if the criticism is accurate? How do you handle that? Overcomers use accurate criticism as an opportunity to change. When Peter was criticized, he had to look at himself and say, "Was I right?" And then he realized, "Yes, I did what was the right thing because God told me what to do and I did it." You have to look at yourself when somebody criticizes you and make this determination: is there any way in which I need to change? Even a little bit. Because understand this, most of the time when somebody criticizes you, there is at least a little bit of it that applies. Isn't that right? May not be much. But those of you who've been around for a while, you know my 2% rule. If it's even 2% right, what do we need to do? Deal with the 2%. Deal with the 2%. If we look at it and we say, "Man, most of what they said is just totally inaccurate, but I have to admit there's a little bit that's right on." Deal with what's on. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. "Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified?" He says we have to examine ourselves. We have to look at ourselves. Go over to Psalm 139, verse 23. Here's how we need to pray. When somebody criticizes us, instead of getting all defensive and wanting to fight back, this is how we need to pray. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." The next time somebody criticizes you, first off, the scripture says, rejoice, be glad. This is an opportunity to be blessed. And then you need to step back and say, "God, show me. What in this criticism is true? If it's only 2%, God, I want to know. I want to change because I want to please you in my life. If, Lord, if there's anything in my heart, anything in my behavior, anything in the way I'm living that's displeasing to you, that's not right, then, Lord, show it to me so that I can repent of it and I can change." That needs to be the prayer of our heart. Don't get upset at criticism. "Thank you, Lord, for letting me hear this. Now show me how to use it to change."
This is Pastor Franklin. Thanks for listening to Covenant Living Today. This broadcast is an outreach of Covenant Community Church. We're a young congregation where the focus is on teaching the Word of God with clarity and integrity so that our members not only understand the Word, but know how to put it to work in their lives on a day-by-day basis. And because we're young, we have some great opportunities to serve. Perhaps you're looking for a church where you can both learn the Word and serve the Lord. If so, why not come and visit with us? Our worship services start at 10:30 every Sunday morning. Plus, we have Bible study every Wednesday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Covenant Community Church is located at 1745 Derry Street in Harrisburg. And if you'll come to the corner of 18th and Derry or 18th and Berry Hill, you can't miss our building. For more information or directions, or for a CD of today's message, please give us a call at area code 717-232-5299. That's 232-5299. Or visit our website at covcomchurch.org. That's covcommchurch.org. This is Pastor Ron Franklin, inviting you to be listening for our next broadcast of Covenant Living Today.